All right, now you get the other interactive part. Today I want to start my sermon with a brain teaser. Now, there's a trick to this brain teaser. I need help from you all. Yeah, I'm going to ask you all a question. And they only really work if you're brave enough to actually answer the question, to reach out and say, all right, let me give it a try, and let Pastor tell you that you're wrong. Because that's usually what it is. We get nervous, and either you know it or not, and it makes it better if you actually sort of don't know what it is. This brain teaser is called A Trip Through the Green Glass Door. And it starts with this. I am going on a trip through the green glass door, and I want to invite you to come with me. But in order to come through the green glass door, you have to bring something with you. Now, you have to bring something appropriate. If you bring something inappropriate, you can't come. And so I'll give you an example of something that is appropriate. Well, it is a picnic, and I think it's like a party. So I'm going to a trip to the green glass store, and with me, I am going to bring a pair of red balloons. Is there anybody who would like to come with me through to a trip to the green glass store on a picnic?
I will.
I will. Marilyn, what will you bring with us?
I'm going to bring fried chicken.
You can't bring fried chicken. Sorry, you can't come. Sounds really good, but we're not going to have any fried chicken. Don. Can't bring potato chips, I'm sorry.
Water.
Water, you can't bring water.
A bottle of wine.
You can bring a bottle of wine, yeah, yeah. You got the right idea, Stephanie. I like what you think.
I was going to say red wine.
You can't bring red wine. You can bring the bottle of what, right? That's what we're thinking.
I'm going to bring a bowl.
You can't bring a bowl.
Why not?
It's not appropriate. You can bring an apple. That's a good idea. We need some kind of fruit, right?
I want to bring bread.
You can't bring bread. Marilyn, come on. What other items?
Case of beer.
You can bring the beer. You have storage. You know. You guys are starting to get the scene, so are you? Any other items?
I want to bring a wine glass.
You can bring the wine glass. Yeah, that's good, because we're going to have wine.
How about a plate?
Can't bring a plate.
Oh.
Sorry.
Can I bring a birthday cake?
You can't bring a birthday cake.
Oh.
It's not, no. You know, I think we need some music. So I'm going to bring with me the bell choir.
That's only for
you. Yeah, the bell choir got really excited about that. They're like, yeah. Can't bring your husband. You guys want a hint? I think this is a really good one. You can't bring your husband, but you can bring Jim Crook.
Scotch?
You can't bring scotch. Sorry. Sounds really good. I mean, we sing along to this, still, no, I'm sorry.
We have something to eat. Pretzels?
Can't bring pretzels. Herb, over there in the corner.
A bucket of fried chicken.
Can't bring a bucket of fried chicken.
Oh.
Bread?
Can't bring bread. Go eat.
Can I sing my mandolin?
It's music.
I don't believe so. That might give you a hint about what the conditions are.
No, I'm still.
What about a tablecloth?
Can't bring a tablecloth. When I reveal it, you don't have to tell me if I'm right or wrong, Betty, because now I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm wrong.
Bring a friend?
Can't bring a friend.
Two napkins?
You can't bring two napkins. One? Can't bring one. You can bring green napkins, though.
I don't know. Green napkins.
You cannot bring a deck of cards. Okay. So who's confused?
Oh my God.
Does anybody have an idea of what the solution is? We're gonna wait on that. Does anybody just think that I'm gonna be a jerk? I'm being a jerk. That's a satisfactory answer. All right. Don, do you know what the answer is? Give us a hint of what it is.
It's not gonna tell
me. Yeah, tell us. Yeah. I think everybody's ready, right?
I think it's whatever you can, when you die, whatever you can bring to help.
No. That's a good answer, but it's not for that. It's actually, you guys want another answer?
Yes.
Or should I just not tell you? The clue is actually in the green glass door. It's the double letters. You have to bring an item with double letters. So green, the double E, glass, the double S, the door with the double O's. So that's why you can bring Jim Crook, but soon you couldn't bring your husband. That's why I had to think about mandolin. I thought, I don't think there's any double letters in it. But I thought, all right.
I can bring a book.
L-E. And beer. Well, we were going to let the beer in anyways, right?
What about wine?
Wine doesn't
wine
have
bottle.
But the bottle has the double. So it's one of those words that have the double, right? Yeah, it makes sense when you get it, right?
I could have brought a book.
You could have brought a lot. Just like your glass for wine was acceptable. I bring up this brain teaser because often we don't think about it too much, but every community has its requirements. To be part of that community, you almost have to meet the requirements. Some are very obvious, right? Some organizations you have to pay dues for. You have to show up so often. You have to participate. You know, you work for a company, right? You're part of that community because you've been hired. You can't just show up and start working. Well, you probably could, but that probably won't work well. Other communities have hidden requirements that we don't always have. And then in our first lesson today from Acts, we get the debate about the question about the church community. In the early church, there was a question. Does one have to practice the Jewish tradition to be Christian? It's a question we actually see often. You'll often hear it when Paul talks about circumcision. He's not so much worried about people being circumcised as much as he's asking this question. Does somebody have to follow the Jewish law in order to be Christian? And in our first lesson today, we get an answer. We get that answer through a dream. We get it, this image of Peter is on a picnic. And in this dream, what comes down is this blanket full of all the very delicious animals, snakes, and all the things you really don't want to eat, right? All the things that are marked as not edible, according to the Jewish tradition. Probably the most common animal you experience of this is pork. If you've ever had a pork chop, you have now crossed the Jewish tradition. You don't eat pork. Because it's banned under the list. And so what happens in this dream, Peter gets this dream and he interprets it. It happens to him three times, and in interpreting it, he hears a voice. And the voice says, "What I have made clean, do not call profane. What I have made clean, do not call profane." And I think the text actually says something slightly different. It says, "What God has made clean, do not call profane." It speaks to the act of God that cleanses others. And while this seems like such a simple phrase, that simple phrase offers us three important insights about what it means to be the church. The first is that God is at work in our world. That God is rapidly trying to extend out to others. Even before the community was ready to reach out to the Gentiles, God's already working among them. He's already reaching out. That God is a pursuer of others. Last week we read Psalm 23. In the last verse of Psalm 23, make sure I do this right. The very last verse, verse 6, it says, it ends with, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." And I was reading this, then I looked on Facebook, and I saw somebody post about it. And they said, follow is the wrong word. I think the word should be pursue. And if you look in the Hebrew, I know you're all really excited to look at the Hebrew, it actually makes more sense as pursue. That it's not that God just kind of follows.
It's a God pursues us. That we're sometimes in a high-speed chase, trying to get away, right? But then we have a God who keeps reaching out, who keeps calling us back. That God is a pursuer of the lost. Number two, we have to ask ourselves, what is God doing in our world? Reminding ourselves that God sometimes works outside of our own expectations. That God is constantly moving the church forward. That God is at work and moving. So we have to ask ourselves the reverse question. What is God doing? Because God is not stagnant. God's a mover. And number three, we have to ask ourselves, what barriers have we created that prevent the inclusion of others? And I use the word barriers, not that all barriers are intentional. In fact, many barriers are often accidental. We don't even think about them. And I'll give you an example. One of the most popular trends right now in the church is, if you ask certain scholars, they say, there's one word you're not supposed to use to describe your church. You guys ready for that word? No, not that. That is actually somewhat acceptable. The word is family.
What?
Family. And you think to yourself, like, families do a lot of really good things, right? We talk about it for the key. This is the critique of family. You ready for it? How do you join a family? You're born into it or you're married into it, if you're lucky. Right? You're either born into it, you're adopted into it, or you are married into it. It's a closed system. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's limited ways. It's. I think I've heard many stories where people talk about this idea of, whether you're ready to improve or not, right? They're closed systems. The struggle with that for a church is this. We're not meant to be a closed system. The end of Matthew, what is the call? Go out and baptize and make disciples in the name of God, right? Baptizing in the name of the Trinity. We're sent out. We're actually meant to be an open community. And it's not that the idea of the things that we think with family, love, community, joy, those are the things that we're pushing against. It's a push against the idea of being a closed community. It's this idea that when we have people join us, we get excited. We don't wait 6 months to see if they're going to wait and hang out with us. We get excited in the moment. And that's a little bit of a scary idea because it means that we have to be a little bit vulnerable for it. That we have to be ready for those. When we look to our God, we see a God who's vulnerable, who comes to earth even when the earth is hostile towards God. God who loves first, who reaches out, who cares, who adopts us before we're ready to be adopted sometimes. When we hear the story from Acts, I think Peter has this really great line. Who am I to hinder God? And it's this neat call. It's this wonderful question to us to say, who are we to stop God? Right? And you think that sounds really negative. And goes, I think it's actually expressed better the other way. We're called to get caught up in the Spirit. That we're meant to free ourselves in the Spirit. We talk about the hope we have in God. We talk about the hope of the resurrection, right? That we are, that death does not have the last say. That the promise made in Revelation, that heaven is coming to earth, and tears are going to be wiped away, that those who have died will be back and changed for the better. That's a good thing, right? We're excited about it. And that gift is not a gift for a small group of people. It's not a lottery. But rather, it's a gift that is meant to be shared. shared with me and you and everybody else who comes and worships. That we're not a close community. When God says to us, when Jesus is departing, he says, love one another, you will know that you are my disciples. It doesn't mean that these 12 disciples are only meant to love each other, but that they're meant to love every person who God has called. It's a reminder to not only believe in our own calls, but to believe in the calls of others. That God has given us a tremendous gift, a gift of life and a gift of each other. A gift of love. A gift worth sharing. Amen. Please join me in singing our gospel hymn, Jesus, Jesus, fill us.